It's not. Anyway, it's a beautiful day to be together with you guys. I know I'm a broken record every time I say it, but it is incredible to be here and worship with you guys. The emotion of the singing that I get here, I know that you guys, it probably glosses over for you guys over time, but if you get the chance, go somewhere else for a Sunday and come back. You'll see what I'm talking about. But it's a powerful thing, a powerful gift that you guys have, and I'm glad that you've shared it with me this morning to just bring out the best singing and worship in me, and that's a great thing for me and something I really treasure. So thank you for that. It's always a blessing to worship with Macco Hills family, and then also my family, almost everybody. So anyway, it's a cool thing today. So before we dive into our lesson today, let's say a prayer, and then we'll talk about something that we're all very familiar with and thinking about at this time, probably. So let's pray. God, it's such a blessing to be in your presence this morning with fellow believers, with family, Father, just to sing praises to you and to open up your word and see how it can affect our lives, Father. God, at this time of the year where people are starting to think about your son being born into the world, Father, and just a blessing that is to have even people that may not think about you or Jesus any other time of the year, at least acknowledging his presence and knowing that he was here and he did live on this earth, Father. Just help us to take every opportunity for that to spread your word, Father. God, as we look into that deeper this morning, just pray that your spirit would say what it needs to say through me. Help me not to get in the way of what it needs to say this morning, Father. We just love you so much, and we thank you for bringing us here together and putting us together as a family, knowing we need each other, Father. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Is it not on? Is that better? Okay. All right. Helps if you turn the mic on, I guess. All right. I always think it's cool also when you have a sermon and you don't talk to anybody else before you start, and it seems like everything just falls right in line with that. So that's kind of what's happening today. Jimmy's thing he started with, and then Chris, all on the Christmas theme here, and I don't think I told him. Maybe I did, okay? So I didn't tell him, but it all worked out perfectly. I guess we're all in the same line of thinking this morning. That's a cool thing. So, but what I want to talk about this morning is Away in a Manger. Okay, the nativity. Actually, I had no idea what nativity meant last night. Elisa said, hey, what does that mean? So I looked it up. I thought it'd be something really cool, you know. All it means is an occasion of someone's birth. So, anyway. Well, I put special because we're talking about Jesus. But nativity, just so, I guess technically, you know, all of us had a nativity. I just thought it was specific to Jesus, but it wasn't. So, anyway, just one of those things where we think is a lot cooler than it may be. But anyway, okay. But we're getting into that time of year where, okay, if you've got a job or if you've got things or if you're out in the world, okay, you're in that weird time where it's like, okay, you know, politically correct America. Do I say Merry Christmas? Do I say Happy Holidays? Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah? I don't know what you say, okay? But you get in that point, okay, where you're like, is it still okay for me to say what I want? And you get people like, you know, we have to keep Christ in it. You know, there's this whole red cup thing. I don't know what the deal is. At Starbucks, you know, I'm off Facebook, so I don't see all this stuff now. But for those of you that are on there, probably see a lot of this stuff starting in November now, because you can't even have Thanksgiving anymore, you know. I think we need to put the thanks back in Thanksgiving before we jump to Christmas. But anyway, although it is great, because now you can shop at Walgreens in December and get discounted Christmas stuff. So that is pretty cool. But anyway, but this is my favorite one, though. Keep the Han in Hanukkah. That's my favorite, but anyway, but we've got all this stuff where it's almost like we go to war in December of trying to keep Christ in Christmas, and we get offended that people want to take him out, so we offend them back by saying he needs to stay in, and we don't listen to them because they're offending us, so then we offend them back thinking they'll listen to us, and we never really get anywhere, do we? And so we get in this place where Some people want to talk about it. Some people want to celebrate it. Some don't. Some don't know what to do with it. We even, this little comic in the bottom, guy says, Merry Christmas. The other guy says, Happy Holidays. He says, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. And they start fighting each other. So anyway, I'm sure that doesn't actually happen, but it probably has somewhere. But anyway, so but we just get to this weird space where we want it, we want to use it, but we don't. We don't know what we really want to do with it, or maybe I'll be just speaking for myself. But we all come to this nativity scene, okay? We've got Mary and Joseph and these beautiful, cute little lambs and sweet baby Jesus there in the beautiful straw and the perfect light coming down, okay? And then the three wise men, you know, and they've got the goods there. Three, of course, right, Bickle? Okay, because we know it's men, so it's more than two, but there were three gifts, so there's got to be three, you know. And then we get in, well, it could have been 15. Well, it's just three gifts, you know. You get into those good times. Man, I love Christmas. This is great, okay? And then, you know, you got the cool palm trees there. It's almost like a resort scene, you know. It's almost like, man, this is just too beautiful, too perfect, okay? The Son of God coming into the world, okay? I'm not making light of the situation, but you know what we do to Christmas. We make it beautiful. We make it something that could have actually maybe happened, okay? All right? And then it all comes down to December 5th. False. December 25th, right? Okay. I want to celebrate yesterday, but anyway, okay. So December 25th, okay? Christmas Day, okay? The day Jesus was born, okay? But was that really when it happened? Okay, let's see if we can look into that this morning, okay? Maybe. Uh-oh. Clicker's not working, Dave. What are they? There we go. All right, how do I go back if it does that to me? Okay. All right, so so to start this discussion, okay, I want to talk about a Jewish feast called the Feast of Sukkot. Okay, teach you the coolest Hebrew word you're going to learn today, sukkah, all right? That's a great one, right? Okay, so it means booths, okay, or tabernacles or tents, temporary dwelling, okay? And so the Feast of Booths was a time of our rejoicing to the Jews, Feast of the Ingathering. It's when they take in that final crop from the harvest, and then it's also when they celebrate all the nations coming together and worshiping together, worshiping the Messiah. And so it's a time when all the Jews are thanking God for the things that they've given him, but then also looking forward to a time when everybody is going to worship the Messiah that they've been looking for. That's what they're all thinking of. That's what they're all focused on. Okay? And so also Sukkot from Leviticus 23 talks about on the 15th day of the seventh month, you gather the land's produce and hold the Lord's festival. Rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Be a lasting statute through your generations. You must live in the booths for 7 days, okay, live in the Sukkot for 7 days, so that your generations may know that I made the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And so it's a time also to remember their deliverance from Egypt, and they live in tents for that week. Then also at the dedication of the temple, it was said that, will God really dwell, okay, will God really Sukkot on the earth? Behold the heavens, and the heavens of heavens could not contain you. How could this house that I have built hold you? And so during Sukkot, during that feast, God's glory filled the temple, okay, and that was at the temple's dedication. And so it says in John chapter 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt, or sukkoted, tabernacled among us. Okay? So we saw where Solomon was saying, is God ever going to dwell on the earth? Okay? And then that same Hebrew language shows back up in John and saying, the Word became flesh, and he uses the word sukkot. Okay? Could he be pointing to a time when Jesus might have come? Okay? All right, so that's one thing that you can kind of look to, okay? But what I'm talking about now is in Luke chapter 1, the birth of two boys, okay? What boys am I talking about? Okay, John the Baptist and Jesus, right? Okay, how are these guys related? Cousins, okay? All right, how far apart were they? Okay, 6 months. Okay. Now, who was John the Baptist's mom and dad? Elizabeth and Zechariah. Okay, all right. And then Jesus' parents? Okay, Mary and Joseph. All right. And I guess you could also say God, all right. Wasn't trying to trick you there. Okay. All right. Okay. But let's focus on Zechariah for a second. Okay, what was Zechariah's job? Okay, a priest, okay? And he was in the division or the group of who? Okay? Abijah. Okay? Now Abijah, okay, the way that the priest system worked was, okay, there were 24 divisions or 24 groups. And in 1 Chronicles 24, okay, they kind of split out as to when these guys would serve, okay? So they cast lots, and Abijah's lot was on, he was the eighth group, okay? Now the priests would, their jobs would be, they in the temple they would serve for 1 week, and they would do that two times a year, and then at the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Sukkot, or Tabernacles, they would also serve. So basically, 5 years, five weeks out of the year, they would work in the office, okay? All right, now the rest of the time they weren't off, okay? They were doing things in their local towns, in the synagogues, okay? So they weren't off the clock, but their main job, okay, they only did 5 weeks a year, okay? So Abijah's was the eighth week, okay? So Abijah served in the 10th week of the year and in the 35th week of the year, okay? Now, the Hebrew calendar is 51 weeks, okay? So that's why, you know, Hanukkah never seems to line up and Easter's always jacked up, okay? It's because they're on the wrong calendar system, okay? Okay, so, but their year starts in Nisan, you know, I don't think that's how you pronounce it, but it's the car, so it connects better, okay? So theirs kind of starts in March or April, okay? And then lots of the different feasts happen, okay? The week of Abijah, okay, was in late May, okay? So if you're looking back in Luke chapter 1, okay, what happens to Zechariah while he's there serving in the temple? Okay, an angel comes and tells him what? Okay, you're going to have a baby, right? That's crazy, right? Because Zechariah is this old dude. He's never had kids, okay? But they say, you're going to have a son, okay? So Zechariah, he's been at work for 2 weeks, okay, because Pentecost falls right before his week there. So he's been gone for 2 weeks, okay, there's kids in the room. So he's a husband who's gone for 2 weeks. He just heard he's going to have a baby. So he runs home, okay, all right, early June, okay, and he, it says that when he gets there, okay, Elizabeth almost says like immediately becomes pregnant. Oh, sorry, with child, sorry, Papa, okay. So becomes with child, okay. So in early June, okay, John the Baptist is conceived, okay? So if we have John the Baptist being conceived in early June, okay, they're 6 months apart, so when does that put Jesus being conceived? You can cheat if he's going to live behind me, or you can do math. Okay, June is the 6th month, so you add 6 to that, okay, all right. It's 11 o'clock, guys. Okay, all right. Okay, December, okay? All right, now, okay, so December, okay, actually tonight starts Hanukkah, okay, the festival of lights, okay, so the light of the world potentially being conceived miraculously on the Feast of Lights, okay? So again, God is a God of picture, okay, and to the Jews, these pictures would shout to them, okay, what God is trying to say, all right? Okay, so so we've got one picture of the light of the world being conceived on the Feast of Lights, but then also in Malachi chapter 4, it says, look, I'm sending to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And the Jews were expecting Elijah to come at Passover. They'd even set out an extra cup of wine for Elijah, and they would open the door to see if Elijah was coming. Okay, so at Passover, all the Jews are looking for Elijah to come. Okay, so we said that John was conceived in June, okay? So if you add 9 months to that, all right, that puts us where? Okay? In late March, which is right at the Passover. So when all the Jews are looking for Elijah to come, they're all sitting there at the Passover feast. They got a cup set for Elijah. Elijah, where is he? Who gets born into the world? John the Baptist. And who does Jesus say that John is? Elijah. Okay? And so if John is born in late March, okay, if you add 6 months to that, that puts Jesus being born where? Okay? Potentially late September. Okay? The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. Okay? So maybe John saying that, you know, he was Sukkoted among us, dwelt among us, okay, maybe it's pointing to that, okay? But more so, the math, that's the part I like, points to with John being born at Passover and Jesus being born at Sukkot, okay? So December 25th, okay, most likely not, okay? Okay, but, okay, we'll give him gold and frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh, okay? So, Jared just got it. I love it. Okay, so, all right, what is this a picture of behind me? Okay, the Judean desert, okay? All right, this is Psalm 23. Okay, he leads me in green pastures, okay? To the Jews that were writing in that day, okay, I know this kind of blows a lot of people, okay? But, okay, our green pastures work too. That picture works too, okay? But I think this is the picture that David had and Jesus had, okay? This is the green pastures, okay? And this is the green pasture that grows, okay? The Mediterranean Sea kind of gives off like a mist, a fog, and it gives dew on the hillsides, and these little sprigs of grass grow up, okay? And so the shepherd knows which hills have it and which don't, okay? So if these are the green pastures, okay, it says, we'll get to this in a second, okay? But these are fields in Bethlehem, okay? So basically, there's kind of like terraces where the people had their houses, and then they would have like their own personal garden back behind the house. Okay, there's a whole lot of stuff in the Old Testament about, you know, boundary lines and you can't cross them and things like that. And they would lay stones out. And if you move one of those boundary stones, you basically get killed. Okay, it's because these people had so little, all they had was in that field. And so if you took that from them or if you damaged that, you basically ruined them and their family for the whole year. Okay? And so this picture at the bottom is a picture of the shepherd in the fields. Okay? That's not really the picture we think of, but when we think to Jesus' birth, okay, it talks about the shepherds being in the fields. Okay, this is the picture of what they were doing. Okay, so they're in those little terraced gardens, if you will, cleaning up after the harvest. Okay, because it says in Luke chapter 2, in the same region where there were some shepherds staying in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, like I said before, if a sheep got into those fields while there was still crop in there, the sheep would get killed instantly. Actually, they almost go to war over it because, you know, the shepherd lost his sheep, but they lost their crop. I mean, it's very tense here at this time, okay? But the time when the shepherds are in the fields is after the wheat harvest in late June and before the winter rains in early November, okay? So again, kind of chopping off that December 25 date, okay? Here's another one. When the angels come down and they talk to the shepherds, okay, they sing a song, okay, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men and goodwill towards men. And this is actually the Jewish traditional song during the Feast of Sukkot. It's the only time of the year that they sing it. Okay, so again, keeps pointing back to Sukkot being that time when Jesus was brought into the world. Okay, now this. This is cool to me and maybe nobody else, but this is cool to me, so I don't really care. So, if Jesus was born, okay, on Sukkot, okay, if he was born in late September, okay, that puts him being miraculously conceived on Hanukkah. And so the light of the world being conceived there with the Festival of Lights. And then he was born on the Feast of Booths, okay, that time when everybody in the Jewish world is looking for the Messiah to come, he's born into the world. And then he died on Passover, the Passover lamb. And then he's buried on unleavened bread. Now, at unleavened bread, they take, at the Passover, they take the middle, there's three pieces of bread. And they take the one in the middle, and they wrap it in linen cloth, and they bury it. Okay? So Jesus, when he died, he's put between two others, and he's wrapped in linen cloth, okay, and he's buried. And then he's raised on the Feast of First Fruits. Okay, and that's the feast where they're blessing God for bringing their crops from the ground. Okay, and on that day, Jesus is raising out of the ground. Okay, and then we know that his Spirit was sent on Pentecost. Okay, the feast where they're celebrating God's Spirit coming down on the mountain in a cloud of smoke, okay, in the fire on the mountain. And then at Pentecost, the tongues of fire come down, okay, on the heads. Okay, now this is the one where it gets kind of speculation, okay, but if you keep going with the picture, okay, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, okay, we know Jesus is coming back with what sound? Okay, the trumpet sound, okay, so I think it could be on Rosh Hashanah, okay, we don't know, okay, but if it comes on Rosh Hashanah, okay, that puts Judgment Day on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and this is the coolest one to me. God will dwell with man for eternity when the Feast of Booths is ultimately fulfilled. When everybody's praying that they want God to come dwell on the earth with them, okay, it all lining up to where that's ultimately fulfilled with Jesus doing that, okay? Now, this is all, things we may not know about, but the picture is just so beautiful, okay, of God orchestrating all these things to happen at just the right time, okay? All right, now, okay, I've said all that, okay, and now you're probably thinking, well, great, what do I do with Christmas, okay? I'm not trying to poo-poo on Christmas, okay? I'm going to celebrate Christmas. I love Christmas, okay? But what do we do with it, okay? If Jesus wasn't born now, okay, the way we kind of fell on December 25, when the Romans made Christianity popular and they made everybody kind of become Christians, okay, they took a lot of those pagan holidays and they said, we need to Christianize these things, okay? And so, to Jews, birthdays are not very important. It's your death day that is important. But to us, the Roman thinking, your birthday is important. So like, well, why do we not celebrate Jesus' birthday, okay? And so they found a time in about the 3rd century, they kind of narrowed in on December 25, okay, to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And some say that it's Saturnalia, okay, the winter solstice, okay, they kind of took that and they Christianized it. but, you know, all that to say, the fact that December 25 may not be his birthday really doesn't mean a hill of beans. Okay? You can't prove it one way or the other. What matters is that he came. And what matters is that he's not still sweet baby Jesus anymore, but he grew up and he lived a life and he died for us. Okay? And so I think what we do with Christmas is, okay, you take advantage of the time because people that may never even think about Jesus any other time of the year are now thinking about him. Well, even if they're upset about it, they're still thinking about it. But I think the rub is, okay, not to take it and try to defend Christmas and try to, we need to, not that you can't do those things, but it's to do it in love. Because if you come at somebody like, well, don't happy holiday me, Merry Christmas you, okay? All right? And I know I say that in jest, and we don't say it that way, but that's what your heart's saying. And people read right through that junk, okay? Jake's 5, he sees it, okay? We're just better at hiding it, okay? We see it too. He's just man enough to tell me. All right? So, I'm just a boy that shaves, all right? I hide it. But I think what we do at Christmas is, okay, I think it should line right in with Hanukkah, which is starting tonight, okay? But it's where you celebrate the light of the world coming to the earth. And it's a feast of dedication, and you dedicate yourself to the one who redeemed you because of his love. And so, all the things of Christmas, I'm not saying change it. If you've got a cool little nativity scene, don't change it, okay? We'll get to that in a little bit, okay? But I think what we should do is focus on the fact that others are thinking about him and not let that opportunity get away from us, okay? So, now that I've kind of dumped on Christmas, let's go a little more. I'm going to ruin some more stuff for you. Okay, so, I love Christmas, don't get me wrong. Okay, so, So it says in Matthew chapter 2, okay, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, okay? Now this Herod the king was Herod the Great, okay? Herod the Great was the second richest man in the world underneath the emperor, okay? Herod had more money than anybody else, okay? He had the biggest palaces, he had the biggest fortresses, okay? I think out of the top 10 structures in the known world at that time, he had 4 of the 10. Okay, this guy he wasn't an actual Jew. He was an Idumean. Okay, just kind of like a sort of like the Jewish people, but close, but he married into the Jewish royal family. And so that's how he got into the kingship, okay? So Herod was probably the most powerful Jew that had ever lived and walked on the face of the earth from the world standards, okay? So this is the man who is king over Judea when Jesus comes into the world. Okay, now Herod had his biggest fortress palace thing called the Herodium, and it was actually on a hill overlooking Bethlehem. And so I think this is the fourth largest structure in the world at the time. It's the largest structure in the Jewish world at the time. Most beautiful palace. It was like a circle fortress. It had two walls. It had this tower that was 150 feet high where Herod's living quarters were. I mean, you could imagine the view that he had, okay? But then also not the view, but then everybody else that could view Herod's palace and how beautiful it was and how amazing it was and just that reminder, okay, of how incredible Herod was, okay? I told myself I wasn't going to do this, but we're going to anyway, okay? Do you know where Herod got his money from? Do you know why Herod was so rich? Okay, go to Luke chapter 8. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of several spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he called 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Huzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, many others who provided for him in their substance. Okay? So Joanna, the wife of Huzza, Herod's steward. Okay? So Joanna was the wife of the guy who was in charge of Herod's money. Okay, now where Herod got his money from was a spice called balsam. Okay, now balsam was an aphrodisiac. Okay, it was said of that if you put a drop of balsam behind your ear, would basically bring women coming to you from miles around. Okay, and so people would just give all their money to get this balsam, okay? Because the Romans were all about love, okay? Or what they thought was love, okay? And so so they would spend their fortunes on this, okay? Now, they actually found some of this balsam, and it actually was not an aphrodisiac at all. It was a huge scam, okay? But Herod made millions off of this aphrodisiac, okay? Okay? So basically, Herod was making all this money, Huzza was making all the money, and Joanna was helping fund Jesus' ministry on the sale of balsam, okay? So Jesus was basically sponsored by Viagra, okay? Which is funny, okay? But you take that, okay? And God taking the most corrupt person in the world at the time and using that for to spread his kingdom. I think that's a pretty cool thing, okay? But to go back to Herod, okay, so Herod has this awesome huge palace there overlooking Bethlehem, okay, and just an amazing thing. Okay, so you think of that night, okay, those shepherds seeing that star, okay, and they know that they've seen the angel, the angel telling them that the Messiah is coming to the world. Okay, and they're going to see this baby, this new king. Okay, the wise men coming from far, far off to come see them. Okay, we've got this beautiful picture here. Okay, but think about what happened to Mary and Joseph. Okay, there was a census, so they had to come in to be counted. Okay, so they come from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. Okay, now when they're doing that, what is Mary she riding on? Okay, a donkey, okay? All right. Does anybody in here drive a Mercedes or BMW? Just raise your hand. Okay, Dave does, okay? All right. Okay, you've driven one, okay. All right, okay. All right. Dave, if you've driven one, okay, if anybody does have one, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? If God's blessed you with money, that's awesome, okay? But if you had a donkey, that was like if you had a Mercedes or a BMW, okay? So Mary, when she goes to dedicate Jesus, she gives the sacrifice of 2 turtle doves. That's the poorest of the poor. Okay, so Mary wasn't riding on a donkey when she came. 9 months pregnant, walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Okay? Okay? So you got this girl who's pregnant, okay? In the Jewish context, she was betrothed to be married, which would put her at 12 or 13 years old. She's got this pregnancy where people, she's saying it's from the Holy Spirit, but people are like, is this a cover-up? We don't know. Okay? There's a situation where not everybody may trust Mary and what she's saying. Okay? But she comes all the way, and then you've got this pregnant woman wanting to get a place to stay, and they say, we've got no room here. This pregnant woman, they're saying, you can't even sleep indoors. Okay? You've got to go and be where animals can go. Now, that could be under a house, okay, or in a cave. Okay? A lot of times, these animals were in these caves. Okay? You can see the sheep being put in the cave there in that top picture. Okay? But the coolest thing is, okay, Bethlehem, city of David, okay, the shepherd, David the shepherd, and Jesus potentially being born in a shepherd's cave, and then being laid in a manger. And a manger was a stone feeding trough or a stone water trough. So the living water being laid in a water trough. Or Bethlehem, meaning house of bread. So the bread of life being born in a bakery, okay, being put in these places, okay. But it's not that beautiful picture of what we saw, okay. But Jesus coming and being born basically in sheep poo and dust from fires and ash from fires and all these terrible things, this nasty place. Why would you do it that way? Right in the shadow of Herod's amazing palace and all the beauty of the world and everything that it has to offer. The greatest Jew that ever lived, the most powerful, rich Jew that ever lived on the face of the earth, that's when God decided to bring Jesus into the world. And he made him be born right in his shadow to show the world that the Herods of the world, that's not how I operate. Because Herod, he built for Herod. And you know what? That awesome palace that he built, all it is now is ruins. It's just a hill. But Jesus coming and willing to be born, the Son of God being willing to be born in an animal pen, in sheep dung, just to say, I love you. That's the beauty of Christmas. Now, there's a lot of Herods in our world. They've got values that God doesn't have, and seemingly they always seem to have the leg up. Things always seem to go well, but God says, the king of the universe is Jesus, it's not Herod. And no matter how weak he seems or no matter how distant he can feel at times, Jesus is king. Have you seen him? Have you marveled in a God who finds strength in weakness? In seeing these two people together, Herod and Jesus, in the same place at the same time, and seeing how God operates. I hope that you've seen that God's way is a way of salvation and not Herod's. And I hope that at this time of Christmas that you'll choose to not let it slip by, but to use it as a time to dedicate yourself and celebrate the light coming into the world. And letting others know that he's not just a baby anymore, but he lives in us and he can live in them. And what he has to offer is so much greater than anything else that this world has for us. If there's anything you need today for us to pray with you, or if you decide that you want to follow Jesus today, we'll be happy to help you with that. If you need anything, just come now as we stand and sing.